Hello, Rabbi Weider.
Hello, how are you, Abby?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Okay.
I have a quick question. I don't know if you've dealt with this last week, but maybe if you did, I apologize that I missed it. But would you be able to address tonight why did they feel it was necessary to create a whole nother system of Ta'amim for Sifrei Emet?
Hello, can you hear me? Is
I'm.
Rabbi Kalman?
I don't know. I didn't. And I'm not sure the reason why. I mean, the only thing that can be said, the one thing that can be said, and Reb Breuer has a comment along these lines, the Torah has, I did observe, and this is Reb Breuer's comment, is the Torah trope is very different. The Asnachta and Siluk in the Torah is very odd because they split a pasuk in half equally. That normally never happens. Normally, the Asnachta should have been one level below the so pasuk, right? By every other rule. Now, in Sifrei Emes, it is that way. In Sifrei Emes, the Esnachta is a melech. It's not a kesar. And he thinks because on the whole, psukim in Sifrei Emes are much shorter.
Right.
So, but that now that doesn't that that explains a little bit. It doesn't explain everything. In other words, why this system of trup that could drive anybody crazy when you have one trup that can play three different roles and another trup that looks the same but is actually three different trups with the same image. So, it's
And you had a perfect and you had a perfectly good system for the other 21 books.
yeah, I
And
don't
there were and there are certainly short psukim in the other 21 books
right,
that for
but
which
your
it works.
system is constructed for a lot of your common cases, and there are plenty of long psukim. So that itself doesn't trouble me. But why couldn't you just take that system and use that here? I don't know. That's a fair question, right?
Could it be
Okay.
something to do with the fact that those three svarim are poetic?
You could have done Shir Hashirim that way.
Koheles.
Koheles is a little. Koheles is yesh v'yesh. Koheles, yeah. I mean, Koheles. I guess in fairness, Koheles is a mix actually. Koheles has a lot of short maxims like Mishlei, but then it's got more extended sections as well. So yeah, I don't. In other words, you're correct in one sense. They are systematically poetry. But again, Shir Shirim for sure could have been done that way. But maybe, I mean that, hard to
I
know.
don't. I don't know that much about Eov, but are all the psukim in Eov
Yeah, they lend
short?
themselves, they're also poetry. They're very much like Mishlei in style.
The
Okay.
parts that are, the parts that aren't like Mishlei, the parts that aren't poetic are
Mishlei are
have the other trap.
correct. For the opening two, for the first two prakim and most of the last part, which are prose, are in Tom Chaval's farm. So yeah, that's very possible. All right.
Okay.
Rabbi Kelman says we're ready
So
to start. We're
that
ready
was
to start.
the pre-shear shear. Okay, so
Yeah.
it is 8 p.m. So we can start. Achron Chaviv, the last of this series. I want to welcome everybody and thank Rabbi Weider again. And Bakasha, let's go.
Okay. So what I'd like to do tonight is two things. Firstly, I want to very, very quickly review what we did last week. And then what I've done is I've selected two blocks of examples. The first one are really just examples to see what I would say are the most common occurrences of the trup. And then the second thing, I picked a bunch of examples, almost all but, well, I say all but one come from our everyday liturgy or from Psukei Dezimra and related things. There's one that comes from Slichos, you'll see in a second. I actually entitled that section, Eats, Shoots, and Leaves, colon, The Rock of Honey. Some of you might know what I mean by the Rock of Honey, but we'll come to that at the end. Suffice it to say, I once pointed this out at being at a YU Yarche Kala for Shavuos, probably, I don't know,
Oh.
8, 9 years ago. And I pointed this out to Shechter, this misreading, and he started laughing. He thought it was rather funny. So I'll explain. Some of you already probably figured out what it is. But I'll get that. That's one of my last ones. But in the meantime, let me first share again the screen of the trap. And I actually would like to. I know it's a strange thing to say, but I want to thank Rabbi Kelman and thank the audience that has kept me on my toes, because I've learned to lane Sifrei MS trap with whatever particular trap. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be able to. I would not have understood what Reb Breuer wrote in preparing it, and I would have gone crazy. There's no way I could have learned. Tame Emes, based upon reading his thing without already knowing. Maybe other people could. But in the process of having taught this, I've now gone back and I look at all the things. It's like, of course, Now I know exactly what he's talking about. It's so obvious and so on. So I personally, we say, mitami dayosim mikulam. I have learned an enormous amount from teaching you. So just to go over what we spoke about last week, in the Tame Emes, there's only one kesar, that is the siluk. The siluk rules over the entire pasuk. There are fundamentally two malachim. There is an ole v'yored and an esnachta. Now, following the general rules of trop, if you have two malachim in a particular domain, in the domain of a kesar, right, this is true in the Torah as well, the rightmore one, the earlier one, is the one that divides things up first. So let's say before an esnachta, you might have in Torah trup, you might have a segol and a zakef and a tipcha. So the segol is the first pause. Then the zakef splits that in half. Then the tipcha splits that in half. So fundamentally, if you have an ola v'yored and an esnachta, so then the ola v'yored comes first. The ola v'yored functions like a segol, and that will be the first division. And then the esnachta will divide what is to the left of the ola v'yored. Now, both the ola v'yored and the esnachta can have a substitute trup. The Ola V'Yored is pretty simple, and I'll have one of my examples. The Ola V'Yored only gets an Azla L'Garmei, which can also be a Shalish, which is a little frustrating, but it's not a problem because it will, most of the time, will be obvious. It's not common. It'll be obvious that the Azla L'Garmei at the beginning of the Pasuk is going to be an Ola V'Yored. In fact, I think there's a very clear-cut way to tell, which is an Azla L'Garmei normally never comes on the first word of a Pasuk. It only comes on the second if it's a shalish. Normally, if you need a mafsik, a shalish, on the first word of a pasuk, you use a mapach legarme. But if you see an asla legarme on the first word, it's almost certainly an ola v'yored. And an asla legarme is an ola v'yored, it's used for an ola v'yored when the ola v'yored only rules over itself. So if the ola v'yored is supposed to go on the first word of the pasuk, then instead you're going to get an asla legarme. One of the other tip-offs of is that an ola v'yored will only be used if there's also an esnachta or an esnachta substitute, which of course could be a little confusing. Now let's talk about the esnachta substitute for a moment. The esnachta substitute fundamentally, like an ola v'yored, is a pazer, meaning if an esnachta only rules over itself, which means one of two things, it's the first word in a pasuk, or it's the first word after an ola v'yored, then it will turn into a pazer. Now, there's a second consideration here, though, is that an esnachta can only be there, or its substitute, a pazer, if you have a certain number of words between it and the end of the pasuk. If you don't have enough words, then the esnachta, or rarely a pazer, will change into a revia, the regular revia. And if you really don't have enough words, it's going to turn into a mesharis. But fundamentally, the pazer is like an esnachta in the way that an asal gamer is like an ola v'yored, and the revia will substitute for the esnachta pazer if you only have like two words or so after in the pasuk. And I'll show you an example later. Now, one of the unique things, again, we spoke about last week about the Tame Emes trop, is that when you go to the left of an esnachta, following an esnachta, you don't follow the normal rules. Here's the deal. And this works generally, I think, because the psukim tend to be relatively short. So you generally don't have that many words after an esnachta. There are exceptions, but generally. If you need one word division, one mafsik afterwards, you get a revia magrosh. Okay? If you need another one, you get a mapach legarme. Now, sometimes a mapach legarme there aren't enough words after it. It might be right before the sof pasuk, the siluk, and therefore it turns into a mesharis. And when that turns into the mesharis, then the revia mugrash turns into a shalshalas gedola. Okay, and I'll show you an example of that later. Now, the rest of this is normal. It follows the rules we learned in the regular trop, in the 21 Svarim trop. What are the Mishnim? So fundamentally speaking, there are three Mishnim. The first one, these two. A Ola V'Yored has a Mishares, an Ola V'Yored is one of the two Malachim, has a Mishnah, which is either at Sinor, which is what looks like a zarka after the word, at the end of the word. And that will only happen generally if there's one word between the word with the tsinor and the ola v'yored. Then you'll get a tsinor. If there are no words in between, then you get a revia katan. How do you know it's a revia katan as opposed to being the revia, which is a substitute for the esnachta, or revia gadol, which is another Mishnah right above, the answer is you're only going to get a Revi'a Katan right before an Ola V'Yored. And you don't even have to worry about the substitute of an Ola V'Yored, an Asla L'Garmei, because if there's something before the Asla L'Garmei, if there's something before the Ola V'Yored, it can't turn into an Asla L'Garmei. So if you have see an Ola V'Yored, and then the word before it, you see a Revi'a, you know it's a Revi'a Katan. And if there's a one word gap, then you usually get a tzinor. Now the Mishares for the Esnachta, not Mishares, the Mishneh for the Esnachta is the Dechi, which looks like the Tipcha but before the word, not to be confused in Sifrei Emestrop with what they call the Tarcha, which looks like a Tipcha but in a normal place on the world. So the Dechi or the Dechi is actually right before the word. That is normally the Mishneh of an Esnachta. Under very unusual circumstances, I don't have any examples that I've chosen for you, it turns into a mapach legarme, which I forgot the symbol again. I didn't fix it. There should be a mapach underneath. It has to do with the accentuation and distance between the two trop. So you're not going to see that very often. Now, what you will see very commonly, and I'll show you a couple examples, and I think we looked at them last week, is that a dechi will only be a dechi if there's a certain amount of space between it and the esnachta. If it gets too close, the dechi turns into the misharis of an esnachta. And again, this is something I explained at the beginning of last week's shiur, happens even in Torah trap. Occasionally, you've got a mafsik that turns into a misharis because there's not enough space between the trap of the mafsik and then the mafsik that follows it, and therefore the first mafsik turns into a misharis. That will happen very frequently with the dechi turning into, usually, I think, a munach. Okay, and then if you have mishnim typically before the tzinor, before the dechi, it will be a revi'a gadol. And as I explained last week, the symbol for the revi'a gadol, the revi'a katan, and the regular revi'a, which substitutes for the esnachta, all look the same. How do you know which they are? Well, again, as we said last week, the revi'a katan is always going to come before an olav yored. The revi'a, which is a substitute for the esnachta, is generally going to come very close to the end of the pasuk, and there will be no esnachta in the pasuk. That will also be a tip off. There will be no esnachta because you can only get one esnachta, and if the revi'a is substituting for it, that's all you get. And basically, any other revi'a, generally earlier in the pasuk, is a regular revi'a gadol the mishnah. And finally, the last of the trop, the shalishim. We're not talking about the misharsim. The shalishim. Which is either a pazer, an asla legarmei, and a mapach legarmei. Those will come early on in the pasuk. Again, the pazer is almost, you'll know, if you see an esnacht on the pasuk, you know the pazer is not a substitute for the esnachta. I'll show you an example where it is, and where it is not. The mapach, the difference between a mapach legarmei and asla legarmei, generally speaking, the asla legarmei will rule over two words. And if there's only one word at the beginning of the pasuk and you're ready for the mafsik, it will generally be a mapach legarmei. So mapach legarmei generally rules only itself. As a shalish, the asla legarmei will rule over itself and usually some mishares that comes before. Okay, so before I go to the next section, any questions on this? I know it was a little quick, but we did this last week. So if anybody wants to ask before we start to look at the examples, otherwise we'll... we will go on to the examples. Tzvi.
Yeah. Did you say that the mapach legarmei looks like a mapach, not a pashta? Is that correct?
So the mapach legarmei looks like as a regular mapach underneath,
right,
with the line afterwards. The asa right. Legarmei looks like a pashta or a kadma with the line.
Right. Afterwards. Okay. And the mapach legarmei can be either the first word of the pasuk or the first word after olav yored. Would that be a fair statement?
A mapach legarmei? It could be the first word of a pasuk. Occasionally, if I recall correctly, one second, I want to just go back to see it. Occasionally, it's right before an esnachta, when it's the substitute for a dechi. And then the third place comes after the esnachta by two words before the end of the pasuk. It's the second mafsik nosaf. In other words, you get the revi'a mugrash, and if you need another mafsik, then you use a mapach legarmei. So it will come, I think, generally the first word of the pasuk right before an esnachta is a substitute, and that's a shalish, right before an esnachta, and that's the substitute for the dechi, or at the after the esnachta, in which case it's a mafsik nosaf.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so now let me share my screen and go to the next file. And so what I want like to point out, I have a number of different examples here. So the first two, I just want to show you how a esnachta turns into either a pazer or to a revia. So let's take the first pasta. Mizmor shir chanukasa bayis l'David. This is a long enough pasuk, and most psukim in Tehillim are going to have, except for the beginning of a mizmor, the inscription, the koteret, most of them are long enough to have an esnach. Three words you may not get an esnachta, but four units here, mizmor, shir chanukah, sabayis, David, certainly merit getting an esnachta. Yet there is no esnachta, and yet there's a pazer on the first word. So when you look at this, it should strike you that that pazer is actually the substitute for the esnachta. And then the Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid is what follows the esnachta. Now, if you were to break that, if I were to read this with the trop, I would read Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. Now, so the first half, the Mizmor, substitute for the esnachta. That's the major division in the pasuk. So let me go here and mark that. And then we get to Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. Now here, once you have three words, three units, Shir Chanukah is one again, because the makaf, you have room and have an expectation of getting a mafsik. Now, where's the mafsik here? The answer is, it's Shir Chanukah Sabayis and then LeDavid. So what you should have gotten was a revia mugrash on Habayis. The reason you don't get it has to do with the length of the words, and therefore the revia mugrash on Habayis turned into a mishares. But if I were to put fundamentally, if there's a pause here, it would be this. It's not technically a mafsik. For those who remember my comment about the beged kefes dagesh, if lamed were a beged kefes letter, and bias ended on a vowel, it would drop the dagish, because it's treated in terms of everything in the pasuk as a mishares, but really habayis is a substitute for hamafsik, and so hence it's mizmor shir chanukah habayis ledavid, the big pause after mizmor. And you'll know that someone commented to me, a very common mistake. Most people say, we say mizmor shir, mizmor shir chanukah habayis ledavid or something like that, but really it's mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. So this was, so again, this is a pazer that's substituted for an esnachta. Now, a very common inscription in Tehillim is the first pasuk here. I've chosen the one from Mizmor Yutes that we say on Shabbos. If I were to read this, I would read, Lam Natzeach Mizmor LeDavid. Now, what happened here? So we have three words here where an esnachta is definitely possible, but there's no esnachta. And what you're looking at as lam natzeach, because there are only two words after it, the esnachta turned into a revia. That is a regular revia. It's not the revia gadol, which is a mishnah. It's not the revia katon, which is the mishnah of a ola biyore. It's obviously not a revia mugrash, because there's no geresh on it, but rather it's a regular revia as a substitute for an esnachta. Okay, so those are just two examples of the two kinds of examples of how the esnachta changes into something else. I would say mizmor, the way Rebbeinu classifies it, the pazer is just a tsamura. It's just an alternate form of the esnachta in a given circumstance. He treats the revia as something that the esnachta changed into. I'm not sure. I don't know if it really matters, but just the way he classifies it. But bottom line is both mizmor in the first pasuk and lanatzeach essentially should have been esnachtas, and now they turn into, at least to our eyes, looks like something else. Okay, so here, this obviously would be the only pause in the pasuk. Now, what I've taken here in the next three psukim are what I believe to be the overwhelming majority of psukim in Sifrei Emes will end with one of these three sequences. The shortest sequence is in Pasuk Zion, and I've taken here from Ashrei. Technically, I've taken from Tehillah LeDavid, which is how Mizmor Kuf Mem Hei begins. And when we divide up this pasuk, so firstly, the obvious division is after the esnachta. In the second half of the pasuk, there are only two words, and therefore you don't get a mafsik. There's no need for a mafsik. Nothing is a substitute for a mafsik. All you have is the siluk, or the so pasuk on yiraneinu, and then you get the misharis of the siluk. So b'tzidkascha yiraneinu. That's very straightforward. Now, if we were to look at the first half of the pasuk, so there's already something a little bit amiss, because you have an esnachta, you have two additional units before the esnachta, but there is no mafsik. So what's going on here? So first, let me ask the question to the audience. If there would be a pause in the first part of the pasuk, and there are three units, zecher, rav tuvcha, yabiu, where would you put the pause?
After tuvcha.
After yeah. Rav tuvcha. Now, the zecher rav tuvcha, the mention of your multitude or great amount of goodness, yabiu, they will express. So what should have been here is the word tuvcha should have had a dechi. But because between tuvcha and yabiu, there's literally one syllable, the dechi turns into the mishares of the esnachta. So conceptually speaking, even though tuvcha is in fact a mishares, it really should have been, it originally was the mafsik, the dechi, so it was really zecher rav tuvcha yabiu, then the big pause, v'tzit kascha yiraneinu. But putting that aside, v'tzit kascha yiraneinu is one very common. It's probably of these three the least common because it's very, very short. Two words of the esnachta, you're just going to get a mishares and a siluk. Okay. Next. Now, by the way, if you only had one word here, you know what would have happened. Yabia would probably have turned into a revia. And in some cases, if the words were really short, it would have turned into a mishares, and that would have been it. But in this case, the words are long enough, so the esnachta remains in place, and you have two words that don't need to be split up afterwards. Now, the two most common ones are the ones we find in this pasuk, in Hadar Kvarodecha and Chanun Vrachum. And if you have the chance to go through Ashrei at some point, you will see almost all the psukim will end with one of these two sequences. Now, this first one, which we saw also in Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, so Hadar Kvarodecha, firstly, it's obviously, you know where to split the pasuk. And in the first half of the pasuk, it's easy. You have a dechi under Hadar. So Hadar, the glory of Kvod Hodecha, I don't know how to translate that, of the honor of your, I don't know what how Hod is different than Hadar, but whatever it is. So the Hadar of Kvod Hodecha and the Divrei Niflosecha, I will speak. Now, in Divrei Niflosecha Sicha, once again, where would the pause go?
Niflosecha.
After Niflosecha. Divrei Niflosecha. That's what you would expect. But Niflosecha has munach, masharis. Why? It should have been a revia mugrash, but you don't have enough syllables between it and the siluk's accent, and therefore it turns into the masharis. Now, the way this is read, at least in the tradition that I learned, is hadar kevod hodecha v'divrei nifla'osecha osicha. So that is one of the two most common endings. But the easier one to see is in Pasuk Ches, where we have Chanun V'Rachum Hashem, Erech HaPayim Gdol Chasad. So you can see immediately what happened in the first half of the Pasuk. Chanun V'Rachum Hashem is the exact same thing that happened in Zecher Rav Tuvcha. Rachum should have been a Dechi, because it's Chanun V'Rachum Hashem, but because there's essentially one real syllable between the accent of Rachum and the accent of Shem Hashem, therefore it turned into a mishares, but that would be where the pause would be. The second half of the pasuk might be the most common. I'm not sure. I've never really done a true analysis, but impressionistically, this is the most common ending. And the way I read is Chanun v'rachum Adonai erech apayim ugdol chosed. That's how, and you'll find again. Go through Ashrei, and you will see, and you can tell. You can see the pattern that it almost every pasuk is either like pasuk hey. Or like Pasuk Ches, but it all depends on how many syllables you have between where the mafsik would have gone, namely the Revi'a Mugrash, and where the accent on the Sof Pasuk is. But those are by far the two most common, where you know, almost, it's funny, it looks like Torah Trop, the Divrei Niflo Secha Sicha, and if this were Torah Trop, this would be, the Divrei would be a Tipcha, which is a Melech, and the pause would be after that. It's the exact opposite in Tehillim. They're both technically Misharsim, but the pause is after the Munach. And when you see a Revi Magrush, that's very, very straightforward. Okay. So now I want to move on. I've taken a whole bunch of things from Sukkot de Zimra to sort of demonstrate things that are switching. So I start with the last pasuk in Tehillah LeDavid. Tilas Hashem Yidarei Pi Berech Kobasar Shem Kotzo L'Olam Vaed. So the question I'll ask is, where's the major pause in this pasuk?
P,
because that's the Ola V'Yoreid. So that's the first one. This, what kind of Revi'ah is this? It has to be Revi'ah Katon, because it is coming right before the Ola V'Yoreid. So that is Revi'ah Katon. I mentioned last week in the Tehillim Simonim, he actually, to make your life easier, although he missed a couple, he uses this as a hollow diamond on Hashem rather than a solid diamond. So at least he gives you the clue of what a Revi'ah Katon is. But you don't need that, because it always comes right before and Ola V'Yoreid. Now, what's going on in the rest of the pasuk? Well, the question is, what is this Kodesh Revi'ah? What kind of Revi'ah is that? Now, it's obvious for many reasons that it is what? It's a substitute for Esnachta. Why is it obvious? There are two dead giveaways. Number one, you have an Ola V'Yoreid and you have no Esnachta. That can't be. If you only have one Melech and a pasuk, it will be an Esnachta. You only go to two melachim when you get a longer pasuk, then you'll make the Ola V'Yoreid the first melech and the Esnachta the second melech. So if you have an Ola V'Yoreid here, there's got to be an Esnachta. There is an Esnachta. It just happened to turn into Revi'ah. So that's tip off number one. Tip off number two is that under the word basar, you have a dechi. Now, just a comment about where they put the dechi. The dechi goes before at the beginning of the first word, unlike the tarcha, which goes where the accent is. But if you have two words joined by a makaf, kol basar, the convention is not to put it before kol, but to put it before the last word in the sequence. So it's not under the sin, which is what it would be if it were a tarcha, in the mishares, it's right before the beis, which is the last word in the word that has in the compound word that has the dechi. When you see a dechi, there has to be an esnachta following it. There's no esnachta. The answer is there is an esnachta. So it's shame kacho, that Revi'ah turned into it. The way this would be read in my tradition is Tehillas Adonai Yidaber Pi Vivarei Chol Basar Shem Kacho Leolam Vaed. But again, the major pause is it's Tehillas Hashem Yidaber Pi is one part of the pasuk, and Vivarei Chol Basar Shem Kacho Leolam Vaed is the second part of the pasuk. Okay.
Do you actually sing the note on the Shem Hashem and the note on Kacho with the same melody?
No, listen again.
The Revi'ah
that's at least in the tradition that I learned, the Revi'ah that's a substitute for an Esnach and the Revi'ah Gadol are done the same way, but Tehillas Adonai Yidaber Pi Vivarech Kol Basar Shem Kodesho Leolam Vaed. Okay, now moving on to the next Mizmor Pesukei Dezimra. So you look at this Pasuk. The Pasuk is long enough to have an Esnachta, but it doesn't have one. So one of the things you discover immediately, whenever you have a mizmor with Hallelujah, beginning or end, Hallelujah is set off from the rest of the pasuk. So once you look at this, you realize, one second, and you also, by the way, see a Revi'ah Mugrush, which you know is a mafsik nosaf after the Esnachta. Where's the Esnachta? The answer is, this Esnachta is on Hallelujah. It rules over only itself, and that's why it turns into a pazer. To the left of it, you have the Revi'ah Mugrush, which is the first mafsik nosaf, and that splits the rest of the pasuk. So it's Hallelujah, Hallelujah Nafshi, Es Adonai. Okay. Now, here is the first time we're getting to see the Shalsheles Gedola. A Shalsheles without the line after it is just the Mesharis. But a Shalsheles with the line after it is the Shalsheles Gedola, which is one of the mafsikim nosafim. Now, let's try to figure out what happened here. The first half of the pasuk is two words, nothing complicated. Al tiftehu vindivim. Now, what happens in the second half of the pasuk? So, firstly, how would we divide up the words? Bevin adam she'ein lo sishua. where, just from a meaning wise, where does the pause actually go?
Adam.
After Ben Adam, because it's the second part, She'ein lo Seshua, is a relative clause in a person who is not of salvation. He has no salvation. So Ben Adam should have been a Revi'a Mugrash. However, She'ein lo Seshua is three words, so it too can be split up with a mafsik. Where would the mafsik go there? After the word lo. It's too close to the end. So lo should have been really. So the first, this should have been the first pause. That's the way it always works after the desnachta. This should have been the second pause. It should have received, Ben Adam should have been a Revi'a Mugrash. Lo should have had a Mapach Legarme. But it's too short, too close to Teshuvah to get a Mapach Legarme. So Lo turned into the Mishares of the Siluk, the Mercha. And when a Mapach Legarme at the end, as a Mafsik Nosaf, at the end of a Pasuk, turns into a Mishares, the Revi'a Mugrash turns into a Shalshalas Gadola. I don't know why they decided to do it that way, but that's the way it works. So here we have Al Tiftichu V'Nidivim B'Ven Adam She'ein Lo Sishua. Okay, I did the last part wrong, but She'ein Lo Sishua. Okay, now moving on to a pasuk that we did once, so it's very quick review. And I mentioned this is something that the Baalei Tefillah always mess up. Yimloch Hashem Le'olam Elokayach Tzion L'dor V'dor Halleluka. So most Baalei Tefillah say Yimloch Hashem Le'olam Elokayach Tzion L'dor V'dor Halleluka. But if we take our tools out to figure out what's going on, this pasuk is most definitely long enough for an esnachta. Maybe it could have been long enough for a Olav Yoreid. But there's no Olav Yoreid. And clearly no substitute for an Olav Yoreid, because that would have to be on the first word. That would be the Asla Legame on the first word. So we have to look for our Esnachta. Where is our Esnachta? So I mentioned to you before, Halleluka is always set off from the rest of the Pasuk. Mm. So this Revi'a here is in fact the substitute for the Esnachta. Why is it not an Esnachta? Because it's too close to the end of the Pasuk. There's not enough space in between. Now, when we work backwards, okay, there are two mishnim here. The dechi is the last mishnah, but this leolam has to be the Revi'a gadol, which is also a mishnah. It can't be a Revi'a mugrash because it's not after the esnachta and it doesn't have a gerish. It's not a Revi'a katon because it's not followed by a olav yoreid. So we can, by process of elimination, and it's not the esnachta, so we can assume that is the Revi'a gadol, which is a mishnah. So when you have two mishnim, Le'olam and Tzion, the first one is the bigger divide. Then this part gets broken down by the Dechi, and the first part gets broken down by the Asal Garmei. So it would be read, Yimloch Adonai Le'olam Elohayech Tzion Lidor Vador Hallelujah. And if you're about Tefillah, you would read, Yimloch Adonai Le'olam Elohayech Tzion Lidor Vador Hallelujah. But those phrases should go together because they're in parallel. Hashem Le'olam is parallel to Elokach Tzion L'dor V'dor. Okay, we spoke about that one already. Okay, now I've chosen this one. This is really the same, fundamentally, the same thing as Yimloch Hashem Le'olam. Right? You have a long pasuk, you have no esnachta, and there's no Olav Yoreid. So you go to the end and you realize that the Halleluka is set off. And then, before that, you'll notice there's no dechi. There aren't enough words for it. But you have a different Revi'a here, which obviously has to be a Revi'a Gadol, which is a Mishnah. And then before that, you have the Asla Legarmei, which is, wrong thing, it's just a Shalish. So this one we read, Lo Asochein Lichogoy Umishpatim Bayidahum. Hallelujah. Okay. So that's the same thing as Yimloch, identical layout. All right. Now, I had to promise to get an Asla Legarmei and as a substitute for an Olav Yoreid. So welcome to the beginning of maybe one of the two Mizmorim that Rashi actually says is Psukei Dezimra. Rashi says Psukei Dezimra is only Kuf Mem Ches and Kuf Nun. I'm not going to ask you why now. There's a reason why Rashi doesn't tell you. But for our grammar, for our trap purposes, let's look at this Pasuk. Start with the following. Where's the esnachta? You might be tempted to say, this is the dividing part of the pasuk. There's only one little catch. Firstly, I told you Halleluka is always set off, number one. And number two, Halalukah, forget the fact that there probably should be, even though that sometimes omitted the makaf here. That is fundamentally in Asla Legarme on the first word. Now, if this were really in Asla Legarme, the Shalish, then probably it would have been a Mapach Legarme on a single word. But it's not. It's an Asla Legarme, which is the substitute for an Olav Yored, because Halalukah is the biggest pause in the Pasuk. So we have to undo our break there. We're going to make this the biggest pause. And then after we've broken up the Pasuk with the Olav Yored, or its substitute in this case, we're now going to divide the next half of the Pasuk with the Esnachta. And then we can break that further down on either side. Here we get a Revi'a Mugrash in the last part, Halaluhu Bamromim. And then in this section, to the right of the Esnachta, we get a Dechi on under Es Hashem. So that will be the other division. So we would read, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Adonai, Min Hashamayim, Hallelujah, Bamiromim. Okay, and one more pasuk before we get to the really fun stuff. Okay, so maybe some of you think this is fun too. But the last pasuk of Kuf Memches is Vayarn Keren Le'amot Tilolcho Chasidel Levnei Yisrael Krovo Hallelujah. So, we're going to ask, I'll ask the question again here. There's no Esnachta and there's no Olav Yored, and there better be at least an Esnachta. Where is the Esnachta? So some of you, I think, can tell me where it is by now. Where should I put the...
After Amma.
Am Krovo.
After Am Krovo. Remember, if you don't see an Esnachta, it had to have either been substituted by a Pazer, which if there's no Olav Yored, would have to be on the first word of the Pasuk, like Mizmor, Shir Chanukah Shel David. So you know that it's not going to be a Pazer. The only other substitute for Esnachta is the Revi'a near the end of the Pasuk when there isn't enough space, and that's right here. Okay, Am Karovo, Halalukah. Now we have to break down the first part of the Pasuk. So what do we have here? So after Vayarim Karen is a Shalish, Liamo is a Shalish, Tilalcho Chasidav has to be a Revi'a Gadol. It can't be a Revi'a regular because we already have one, and that's the Esnachta. It's not a Revi'a Magrush because there's no Gamish, and it's not after the Esnachta. It's not a Revi'a Katon because there's no Olav Yored following it. Therefore, Chasidav is a Mishneh, and the Dechi on Yisrael is a Mishneh. So the first pause is going to be on Lecho Chasidav. To the left of the Revi'a Gadol, we're going to break it up with the Dechi. To the right, so I will tell you that I encountered this, I thought about it, and I realized this is going to violate the rules, which I'll explain for a moment. Where would you say the break is in the first part of the Pasuk? There are two Shalishim, Keren and Le'amo. Which would you say, logically speaking, by the meaning, divides this sentence up?
Vayarim Keren Le'amo.
Yeah, it should be after Le'amo. The problem is, Keren, which will then become my fourth level division, is a Shalish, and Amo is a Shalish. Now, normally, when you have two Shalishim, the right one is supposed to be the first break. I may have mentioned this briefly in one of the earlier Shurim. Reb Breuer explains in Torah it's common. I think it's pretty rare in Sifrei Emes. The Shalishim don't always follow the rule. You see, when you have a regular Shalishim, multiple regular Shalishim, they follow the rule. The first one is the biggest division. The next one subdivides. The next one subdivides. However, you can have something called the Shalish Tofel, a secondary Shalish, we might call that, in which case the Shalish Tofel comes before a regular Shalish and the major division comes after the regular Shalish. You're going to say to me, that throws everything you taught us out the window. And the answer is, unfortunately, yes. The problem is that when you get to the level of Shalish, there are no more Mafsikim. And if there's a real desperate need to split something up, you wind up with something called the Mafsik Tafel. It's pretty rare, I think, in Sifrei MS because the Psukim aren't long enough, but you're looking at one here. Because as Nissan said correctly, it's Vayarn Keren Le'amo, Tilalcho Chasidav. That's clear. So in this case, even though Keren is a Shalish and Le'amo is a Shalish, and you should have had the major pause before Keren, it doesn't work out that way in this case. Okay. Now time for the Rock of Honey. I mean, I feel bad. I'll go. I'm willing to go as long as Rabbi Kelman would let me go. I will finish these if people want to stay longer. Let me first start with one of my favorite Yomim rhymes that makes me crazy, because I've struggled with this. But we say, V'chol ma'aminim shehu kol yochol, halon b'seiser b'tzel shakai. And many of the people are medaktik. No, you don't want to say halon b'seiser b'tzel shakai, in the shadow of God. Now, the truth is, the shadow of God itself is not problematic. You have that in Tehillim. But since the subject of halon is God, you don't want God dwelling in the shadow of God. So that's why it's assumed it's halon b'seiser b'tzel shakai. Now, I just wanted to point out that the author of the Pir v'chom aminim has taken the pasuk, but he's transformed it into something else. Because in the piyut itself, in the pasuk itself, it's Yoshev kama b'seiser elyon b'tzel shakai yislonon. It is b'tzel shakai, but the subject, the pshat in Yoshev b'seiser elyon b'tzel shakai yislonon, as the Balei Masorah placed it, and I think the Rishonim may argue about it, the subject isn't God. The subject is the person who is fortunate enough to dwell under God's protection. But the Paiton, when he created Vachom Aminim, he's playing off this pasuk, but he has twisted things. And therefore, it's no longer B'tzel Shakai, it's Halon B'Seser B'Tzel Shakai. Okay, next, moving on. And this I want to thank Tzvi Freund, who I thought about this, but he wrote this to me in an email that this had enlightened him. So I put this pasuk in for that purpose. I'm interested in the second half of the pasuk, right? It's clear that that's the second. So the question is, how do you read a V'Shem Hashem Ekra? So he pointed out there are two ways to read it. You can read, I will call out in the name of God, or U'V'Shem, and I don't know if he would translate that, but we have this in Chumash, V'Karasi V'Shem Hashem Lefanecha, and V'Yikra V'Shem Hashem in Kisisa. So U'V'Shem, maybe in a voice, I will call God or something, or by name, I will call God. So Tzvi said, now that we learn, these are both Misharsim, but since he realized that Hashem is a Mishares that substituted for the Revi'a Mugrash because he didn't have enough space, now you know the correct interpretation is, I will call in the name of God. So thank you, Tzvi.
And back in Lech Lecha, it was B'Shem Hashem.
Yeah, in Lech Lecha, it's Vayikra, Kama B'Shem Hashem in Chumash, but in Kisisa, and I would correct Balei Kriya on this, even though Unklus read it the other way. Unklus translates the same, but the Balei Masorah placed it Vayikra V'Shem Kama Hashem. Hashem is the subject, not Moshe called in the name of God. Now, if you will indulge me for one moment, I've been dying to do this. I wouldn't say all week, but I have to bring one thing up. Rabbi Kelman, music should play. Is that correct?
Hold on a second. Just unmuted myself. Yes, music.
Should be able to hear the music. That right? If I play music, people will hear it.
I hope so.
Okay, I want to just bring up a song, and I want to show you. It's a beautiful song. I think Avi Katz was the one who sent this my way.
You need to click share computer.
I know. 1 second. I know. And hold on. Hold on one second. I'm trying to get the song up. Okay, here we go. I might have to skip. You'll forgive the ad for a second.
59.
Okay, now I'm going to bring the. I'm going to pause this, but I know where the thing is. Okay, one second.
Should click share computer.
Hold on. I'm going to come back. I'm going to reshare the screen. 1 second. Let me share again, but I happen to have to. Here we go. Okay, Nidarai Lashem Hashalem. So I want you to again. You may lose this for a second because I'm going to play the music. Listen to this twice. This is Mordechai Ben David, his beautiful Ma'ashiv. It's coming now. Okay. Notice where he put the comma there. I see Rabbi Kelman wants me to keep playing, but I have to skip because we don't have time to the next one.
Okay. Hey, you have an extra minute. It's fine. You can go later. It's okay.
Okay. Here it comes. Okay. So now, okay, the share is back. You'll notice that he put the commas in two different places. So the correct one, as you can see, in Nidarai Lashem Hashalem is Nidarai has the Dechi. And there are two ways of reading it. You could read, my vows to God I will repay, or my vows to God I will repay. But the trap clearly reads both times, Nidarai kama Lashem Hashalem. Okay, moving on to this one, people get a little worked up over because you don't want the pasuk to sound bad. I'm not so much interested in the first part of the pasuk, but the second part of the pasuk. People are afraid, even though you couldn't really read it this way, that man and animals will save God. It doesn't really, the behema will save God. It doesn't really work, but the reason it doesn't work is it's Adam uvei matoshia, Hashem, what happened here? So as Tzvi pointed out in the other case, Toshia should have had a revi'a mugrash. But because it's too close to the accent of Hashem, it turns into a masharis. But really, this is the pause. And it means, Hashem, O God, Adam uvei matoshia, you save man and animals. So if you want to put a pause in, you should put a pause in. Adam uvei matoshia, Hashem. Okay, the next one is not from something we say regularly. It's from something adapted from Tehillim, but I know Avi Katz is here and he will appreciate this. Our wonderful Mara D'Asra, who is a master Baal Tefila, whose Yom Norm Davening is just marvelous. This one particular thing, when he's finished the first four verses of Shema Kolenu in his magnificent rendition, after we say Al Tashlicheinu, the last one, you'll then hear his sweet voice saying, Al tazveinu ad Hashem Elokeinu, al tirchak mimenu. And that's how I always did it, because I do his Nusach HaTfilah. And then I was reading Tehillim and I realized, and some of the Machzorim have this wrong also. This pasuk is actually, Al tazveini Hashem Elokai al tirchak mimeni. It's parallelism. Al tazveini is parallel to al tirchak mimeni. It's chiastic. And Hashem is parallel to Elokai. So the correct way of doing it is Al Tazveini Adoshem Elokai Al Tirchak Mimeni. And I noticed some Machzorim have the comma in the right place, and some of them got it in the wrong place. Okay, and now we're down to our final two. I think I will get through them. The first one is really interesting, actually, and I think most people misread this pasuk. Most people say Adonai Hoshea Hamelech Yaneinu V'Yom Koreinu. Now that is probably wrong. It's definitely wrong according to the Bali Masorah. I've chosen two translations. The first one is some Christian translation that I found searching a website. And the second one was on the same site, but they label, I don't know whose translation, as Orthodox Jewish Bible. I don't know whose translation it is. Now, Hashem Hoshea, Hashem is what we call in grammar evocative. Oh God, you're getting God's attention. Hoshea, save us, save, in the second person. The second half in the pasuk is Hamelech Ya'aneinu V'Yom Koreinu. Now, you're tempted to read Hamelech as the subject of Ya'aneinu, but it's not actually, and let me explain why. The proper translation of Hamelech Ya'aneinu V'Yom Koreinu is not, as some people might think, mechanically translate, God will answer us on the day of a day of our calling. Ya'aneinu, that's a simple future. The difference between a simple future is, let's say, ya'aseh, he will do. Ya'as is let him do. Grammarians call that a jussive. They have all sorts of terms for it. Grammarians love terms. It's a wish. Like ya'as Hashem imachem chesed doesn't mean God will do chesed with you. It's Rus's prayer. May God do chesed with you. We call this term the jussive. It's a third person wish. Clearly, in the context of this mizmor, this is a wish. May He answer us on the day we call. Now, I'm not 1,000% sure of this, but I had a very last minute consultation right before Shir to confirm. I had a discussion with my wife this morning about this because I brought to her attention where the trup is on Hamelech, and she was pushing back a little bit. And I had an intuition, and I checked with my very distinguished mentor and teacher, Rabbi Dr. Moshe Bernstein, and he was masking that it's probably correct. When you have a jussive form, the subject comes after the verb. If you wanted to say, may the king answer us on the day we call, it should have been Ya'aneinu Hamelech B'Yom Koreinu. Like Ya'as Hashem Imach Chesed. Go to the Tochacha in Dvarim. Yad Beik Hashem B'chas Adaver. Yolech Hashem Esmalkecha. And so on and so forth. I believe, I haven't checked the grammar books, but I believe that actually would be the norm. The Bali Masorah, who knew Hebrew very well, I think picked up on that, and they picked up on something else. They want the two halves of the pasuk to be parallel. So it's Hashem, O God, Hoshea, save. And then Hamelech, the king. Ya'aneinu v'yom kareinu. May he save us on the day we call out. You can see the difference in these two translations. The first one is save, Lord. Let the king answer us on the day that we call. That one I think is wrong. The second one, I believe, is the correct one. And certainly the way the Baalei Masorah read it, and the way you would read it in Trop is, Adonai Hoshi'a HaMelech Ya'aneinu V'yom Kareinu. The Revi'a Mugrush, so clearly Hoshi'a is the Esnachta, and the Revi'a Mugrush breaks up the second half of the Pasuk. And finally, on to the last one, the Rock of Honey. You will inevitably hear, well, they echo. The Keter actually has no dagish in Aspi Echa. That's not the part that interests me. But if you read Umitzur Devash Aspi Echa, it means, I will say to you from the Rock of Honey. But that's not what it means. It's Vayachileu Mechelev Chito Umitzur Devash Aspi Echa. And from the rock, I will sage you with honey. It's like Vishemen Mechalmish Sur. God, I guess, brings lots of liquids out of rocks. So here again, being aware of the way the Trop reads will immediately save you from a most interesting metaphor. The only, maybe Shimsho might have had close to a rock of honey, not exactly. But nonetheless, we don't. But the pasuk should be read, Umitzur Devash Aspiecha. So that's the last of the examples I have. I think I've said enough. I hope that I've whetted your appetite for appreciating the Trop in general, and even more so because I know many of you are somewhat familiar already with the Trop from Torah, but probably less so from Sifrei MS. But it is a very powerful tool of interpretation and study. It doesn't have to be the only interpretation possible, but it is, in effect, at least for Kriya purposes, it's the authoritative interpretation of the Baalei Masorah. So I'm going to stop here, and I'm happy to take questions.
Are you going to explain Eat Shoots and Leaves?
Well, that's not mine. That's a well-known book. I've never actually read it. It's on one of our shelves somewhere. It's about punctuation. You can have the animal eats shoots and leaves, like a panda, or he eats, he shoots, and he leaves. So anyway, that's the title of lots of people have never read the book, but they know the title of the book because commas are really important and their placement can change meaning. And I think that has been the major theme of the Shiur. Okay, Rabbi Kelman, I'll let you.
There are a number of questions in the chat box or comments if you want to take a look. And then, of course, if anybody wants to orally ask questions.
All right. I'll pull them up. I don't know if I'm reading front to back or okay. I'm not going to talk about the meaning of how does this work? I only see a few. It's very weird this is doing to me. Rabbi Kelman, you're better. Do you want to just scan?
Okay, let's see. From the beginning. You said you don't want to talk about Hadar Kvododecha be a tautology. Okay, you don't want to talk about that. Okay. He wears a lot of synonyms for splendor and biblical poetic style involves repeating things. It's to be expected. Okay, fine. In a lot of printings, the and Yedaber P might be missing. If there's an Oleviorate that spans a makaf, they tend to drop.
Yeah, Rebreyer talks about it. If you see the Ola and the Yorate, you know whether there is or isn't the makaf, it doesn't matter.
Okay, the syntax determine the tamim or the tamim determine the syntax?
Well, what I would say is that the when you read the verse, you have a choice of how to parse it. But the Baalei Masorah, when they put Trop, they were interpreting the verse in a particular way. When I gave the example that the first example in the Shurim, Arami Oved Avi, right? You could argue what Pshat is. Arguably, what Ibn Ezra and Rashbam say is Pshat, that it's Arami Oved, a wandering man was my father. The Baalei Masorah have chosen to incorporate the alternative reading, the alternative interpretation, which is Arami tried to destroy my father. So there's fundamentally speaking, I think, when you learn a pasuk, you try to figure out what the pasuk means on its own terms, but the Trop will tell you how the Baalei Masorah read the pasuk, or dictated should be read when there's a public reading.
My initial assumption is,
Marquette,
you were muted there. Yeah,
the author of the pasuk would have known his intent was to compose the pasuk in a certain way. The Baalei Masorah presumably reinforced the meaning of the original author. But the author, so, and then and then compose the ta'amim to fit the intention of the author.
So again, I think that is normally the case. There are examples where it's clear right. The trup went against Pshuto Shel Mikra because they were incorporating halachic interpretation. One of my favorite examples, Professor Moshe Bernstein pointed this out to me a long time ago, and this is very rare. At the end of Parshas Yisro, Lo Sason Iti Elohe Chesef Elohe Zahav Lo Sasu Lachem. That's not the Pshat division. It should have been. It's perfectly parallel. It's chiastic. Lo Sason Iti Elohe Chesef Velohe Zahav Lo Sase Lachem, which is rare in biblical law, but it is. The reason why we have the trup the way it is, which is totally imbalanced, is it's incorporating the drash of Chazal. Lo sason iti is don't make images of those things that are with me in the heavens, you know, sun, moon, and stars. It's clear what the trup is incorporating in that interpretation, and it's clear also that's not the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So there, the Baalei Masorah have chosen to adopt a reading which follows the halachic interpretation of Torah Shabbat Peh.
Yeah, and Unklus does not.
You can't tell from Unklus. I don't want to hash that out now. I think you can't tell from Unklus. You could read it either way, just like you could read the pasuk either way. Unklus doesn't use commas or trup. So right. I thought about that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think you can tell from Unklus. It's just ambiguous.
Is it wrong to pronounce Elohei Chesef Belohei Zahav?
No, it's an asogachor. The accent's on Elohei Chesef because the Chesef's on the first syllable.
So it is on the Lamed.
It is on the Lamed. That's where the trup is.
Elohei Chesef. Thank you.
There was a question, by the way, very briefly. I saw it flash in the chat about the accent on Ne'ermu. I don't know why that's relevant here. The answer there is Ne'ermu. Someone asked, it's on the third to last syllable, Ne'ermu Mayim. And the answer is it's not. The syllable Ne'ermu, the ayin, should have been a shva. But under certain circumstances, on a guttural, they turned it into a vowel. But there are really only two syllables there, Ne and Remu. There are other examples like that, but that's why it looks like it's on the third to last syllable. It's really not on the third to last syllable. Okay, I'm sorry, Rabbi Kelman, go back to...
No, I think that's pretty much. I think we got somebody that doesn't like the Orthodox Jewish Bible. Okay, so that, but that's not really relevant. I think we got everything.
While Rabbi Kelman is looking, Cole... Maybe you spoke about this earlier in previous weeks. Kol Tzipor Kol Kanaf. My question is a few parts. I remember the Gra, you probably also familiar with it, that there is actually a difference in meaning, and it's not simply, you know, the syntax that makes one with a cholam and the other with the comets. Do you have any thing that you could share with us?
And you're asking just about the kol with a kamatz katon right. versus a cholam? No, the right. only difference between kamatz katon with a kol with kamatz katon versus with a cholam is that it's whether it has a makaf or not. When the word stands alone, it has a cholam. It's a general in biblical Hebrew. A kamatz katon and a kubutz can never have an accent. When the accent comes to them, they turn into a cholam chaser. When a cholam chaser loses an accent, it turns either into a kubutz or into a kamatz katon. But here, the great trivia question, there's one place in Tanakh where kol, a chol, has a kamatz gadol, and it doesn't mean all. It's v'chal bashalish far ha'aretz, which is a verb. It means he contains within his... You know, in a shalish, all the earth, you know, the dirt of the earth or something like that in Yeshaya. Okay, anyway.
There's actually a gra, a comment of the gra on the Haggadah. It's kol yimei chayecha, the difference between the one in Parshas Re'eh and the one in Parshat Bereshit, Parshas Bereshit. And
tochal kol yimei chayecha. Yeah, okay.
Right. And it actually seems to mean kol. My understanding from what I saw was that kol means everything, but kol with the comments means each and every one.
I just know from a pshat grammatical perspective, it's the same distinction for the most part between s and ace. S is when it's mukaf to the next word. Ace is when it stands alone.
Right. The problem is it's the same words, the same letters. So that's why that actually proves that there is something perhaps.
Right. When you look, Kol Yemei Chayecha by the Haggadah is a cholam and has its own trup. The Afar Tochal Kol Yemei Chayecha again, I can't tell you if this, it could also be a difference in meaning, but the Kol Yemei Chayecha in the Brachos is mukaf. It's got a mark.
Is it possible if you have what should be an oliviyoreid on a monosyllable? I'm looking in my Tehillim in Hafachta Mispidi Lamachol Li in Mizmashiach Hanukkah Sabbayis David. So Lamachol has a galgal, and Li just has the yored, and there's no ola.
So in
the Korain, it has both the ola and the yored on the word Li.
So I don't remember. Rebroyer, he does talk about certain cases where the ola is left off. I think another one is in Mishle, Hav. La Lukash Devanos, something like Hav. I think it's the same thing. I think probably when you have monosyllables, some of the printings drop it. That sounds right.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else have any questions they'd like to ask?
Okay, Rabbi. Thank you, Kvod Rav.
Rabbi Weider, really, I want to thank you on behalf of the learned audience, and really a subject that is very rarely, touched. And I'm glad we could help you even grow. Of course, but really, it's for someone who doesn't lane, and I'm not quite as familiar with some of the all the intricacies. So it's really fascinating, and I want to thank you. And especially as already was commented here, the Sifrei Amet people really, don't know too much about. So, and it's very nice. Picking up and how all the common mistakes that have crept in. It's very interesting, to hear just, I guess, over the years, people just learn it from one to the next and they go on really. So yasher koach, and thank you very much.
I do have one last question, if it's possible.
Sure. Of course. Bakasha.
You may have touched on this already, Rabbi Reader, but why is it that the Sifrei Emet have their own set of tamim? Different from the other 21.
That was right at the beginning.
Discussion.
That's it. You can listen on the tape.
Question.
And I'm
the
sorry.
Answer is the psukim are shorter. That may work, but that explains why the esnachta is just a melech. Unlike in the Torah, the esnachta establishes two psukim. But beyond that, why did they then use the same trop within that? I don't know. Again, it's poetry. I think Tzvi or somebody suggested. I'm sorry if it wasn't. I know it was suggested. It's poetry. It's true. And Eov, as he pointed out, the beginning and the end, which are prose, are in regular trup. Although I observe that Shir HaShirim is not in Stam Emes trup. Although you could say Shir HaShirim, the psukim probably are a little longer on the whole than they are. I think, but I think they're probably on the whole longer than they are in Sifrei Emes. So maybe that's why they didn't use it for that poetry.
Thank you.
Talking about Shir HaShirim, if I may. So next Tuesday, since you won't be giving Shir, Yosef Arubel will be starting a 5-part series on Shir HaShirim. I'm going to do it sort of lead up to Pesach, not on the Tamei HaMikra. It'll be at 1:00. She lives in Israel. So it'll be 1:00 Eastern, 8:00 in Israel. That's beginning next Tuesday. It just went up on the website. I'll send an email about it later. So that will be a week today, 1 p.m. for 5 weeks. And I think many of you saw, we have a lot of people registered already for Shuli Mishkan's next series beginning this Thursday at 1:30, I believe. 1 or 1:30, I forget already, on the Masters of the Mishnah, archaeology, through the Masters of the Mishnah, it's all there. So, and then tomorrow morning, Marty Lakshin, the sixth part of a series talking about Rashbam, Parshanut, and polemics, and he is the world's expert on Rashbam. And tomorrow we'll be talking about Rashbam and his polemics with Christianity, how much, in his Parshanut, he's dealing with issues in Christianity. And then Ilana Sober will give part two of her series on women and tefillin. Those who don't know Ilana Sober, she's the first graduating class of Yoatzet Halakha from Nishma. She's been living in Israel a long time. And then tomorrow night, Moshe Sokolov, Dr. Moshe Sokolov, continuing his weekly series on the Torah of the Week. And Thursday's Parsha of the Week share is given by Rabbi Eitan Aviner, who teaches here in the B'nai Kivi Yeshiva High School in Toronto. I think that's it for the rest of the week. But great to see the emails. I want to thank everybody for coming. And thank you again, Rabbi Weider. And we look forward to learning with you. Invite your friends. And nice to meet everybody. And everybody be well, be safe. And we should see each other for good, happy occasions. Thank you very much. And Lila Tov to everybody.
Rabbi Weider. Really eye-opening.
Thank you.
Even for a seasoned Balkore.
I learned how much I don't know.
That's right.
Exactly. I learned that the first week I picked up how much I don't know. It didn't take me 5 weeks to realize that.
If it makes you feel any better, in the course of preparing teaching the Shirim, I've also learned how much I don't know.
Okay. Yes, Ishkaya, thank you so much.
That's like the old joke. The guy goes to yeshiva, you know, everything's going well. He understands everything. And 6 months later, he says, I don't understand anything. So, now you're beginning to understand something, you know? So, anyways. All right. Good night, everybody.
My expression for this is mind blowing.
Yeah. Ramam says, Tachlis hayadiya hi I hayadiya.
Well, okay. Bye, everybody.